Are you that person who's ever taken a picture of yourself, or maybe you've caught a glimpse of your profile in the mirror or near a window that you're passing by, and you thought in your head, wow, my posture is really terrible? Well, if that is you, and you are not alone, because I've been there too, then you're gonna wanna stick around for today's episode because we are talking all about posture. We're gonna talk about what it is, how we can change it, and that question that I see all the time of, is there a best posture or position for me to be in? Hi, I'm Allie DeRoma, your host for this podcast. I also run Modern Body, where I teach Pilates and movement training for literally anyone with a body and anyone who wants to feel more capable, more connected, and to continue moving their body for life. So true story, when I tell someone that I'm a Pilates or a movement instructor, usually the first thing they say is, oh, I need that. My posture is terrible. Or they talk about their flexibility and how they need to improve it. And if you are a fellow instructor, I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. But the truth is that I really don't think that many people understand what posture is and what it really means. I myself didn't actually understand what it was until I took my first Pilates course. And I'm also someone who has danced their entire life, a lot of dance training, a lot of athletic training, and I still had never really learned about it. So that tells me that I'm probably not alone, and there are a lot of people out there that don't understand posture as well. So that's what I really want to break down today and talk to you about. So I'm going to answer three specific questions. First, what is posture? Second, we're going to look at how do we improve our posture? And the third one, and it's a question that I see all the time, is there a best or ideal posture that I should be in all the time? So we'll get into the first question, what is posture? And I'm also going to tag into that, how do we assess our posture? Because that's the next component once we have an understanding of what posture is. So if you were to look up the definition of posture, whether in the dictionary or researching it online, you're going to find a lot of information. And all of this information, though, is centered around a similar theme, and that is our body's joint positions in relation to gravity. Now, to put it another way, that means our body adapts to gravity over time, but there's also other factors that go into this, which we're going to get into here just a little bit later. But I did compose my own definition for you that's a little bit more concise and simplified, so you can have a better understanding of what I'm talking about when we're referencing posture. So a supportive posture has the natural curves of the spine present. The joints of the body are positioned so they undergo the least amount of stress from gravity and are effectively aligned for weight bearing. Now, if you don't completely know what I'm talking about when I said that definition, don't worry about it. We're going to get into that more as well. But you might not think that gravity is that strong, but just take a second to hold your arm out to the side. And after a while, it starts to get pretty heavy, right? Because that's how gravity is affecting our body all the time. We're just used to it, so we don't think about it that much. But if you really did pay attention, you would realize that gravity is pretty strong, and that's why it really does have an effect on our body. Now, another small piece here that I think is really helpful is that if you looked up the translation of posture, it really just translates into the word position or pose. So you can think of your posture as being a position or a pose that you live in. And there's also two ways to think about our posture, because we could be in a static posture, which means we're not moving, right? We are assuming a pose. And whether that's for a few minutes, for a few hours, depending on what you're doing, that is a static posture. And we can look at posture in these two ways. The second way is dynamic posture. That means we're moving. It could be something as simple as like you're going for a walk. You're in a posture, but you're moving the whole time through that posture. Or say you're cleaning your house. You are assuming different postures depending on what part of your house you're cleaning. Sometimes you're down on the ground, you know, cleaning a corner. Sometimes you are dusting. Sometimes you're going to be mopping. So these are all different positions that we go in and out of when we're looking at a dynamic posture. And these two postures are not going to be the same because our body always is going to adapt where there is the least amount of resistance, and it's always going to take that path. So depending on what your body is doing, what it's positioned as, your body is going to look different than, say, my body, for instance, if we were standing side by side statically, or if we were performing the same movement, we would most likely have a slightly different posture. So as I mentioned earlier, and that I wanted you to keep in mind, is that there are a lot of factors that influence our posture. Gravity is just one of them. Another one is our daily routines. So we can think of these as our movement patterns or our habits. So for example, if you're someone who has a small child, child and you are putting them in the crib and you're taking them out of the crib multiple times throughout the day, that would be a postural pattern or an adaptive postural pattern. And that's because you are meeting the task for what you need to do in your daily life and your body is assuming that posture. Now, say for instance, you are someone that goes to work and you stand on your feet for long periods of time. That is also a posture. So I'm sure right now you could think of common movements that you do throughout your life that you do daily or weekly or yearly or monthly. And what happens is our bodies, they accumulate this postural habit and this pattern over time, and our bodies adapt to that. So that's why when someone comes to me and they say, oh, my hip is hurting, or oh, my shoulder is bothering me, one of the first things I do is I ask them, what does your day-to-day life look like? What do you do for your occupation? What do you do for most of your time? Because that's already going to give me a lot of information about what their postural patterns and habits are, and maybe how their posture has adapted over time. The third factor that is kind of similar to our daily routines, it's our habits. So I think of habits a little bit of like, do you always go and sit on your couch on the same side and lean onto the same hip every single time? Or if you're carrying a purse, do you always carry it on the same shoulder? Or if you're carrying your baby and you are holding that baby on one hip, are you always shifted over to that one side? So for example, for me, I always get this right side kind of tightness from the back of my knee up to my hip, but that's because I know that when I'm cooking or I'm doing the dishes, I am biasing my right leg, my right hip. So everything that's going on in my body is shifted over. So that translates when I get into a Pilates or a movement class, because I can start to feel how I'm wanting to compensate with my right side. So think about that for a second too. Are there any positions or habits that you do throughout the day that you haven't really thought about that could be affecting how your body feels right now and ultimately could be affecting your posture? And remember, these are not overnight things that happen to our bodies. These are accumulations of many days, weeks, months, years over time. Sometimes someone will come to me after they've been a hairstylist for 20 years and ask me why their shoulder is hurting. Well, if you've been a stylist for that long and you're holding your arms up doing people's hair, chances are you might have some imbalances around your shoulder. So the fourth factor is stressors. So this could be work stress, emotional stress, things going on with your family. It could be anxiety. And our bodies do hold on to stress and they do adapt to those stressors throughout our life. But I'm not going to go very detailed into that today because that's not really my area of expertise. But we are going to talk about the fifth factor, which is genetics. And that's basically, you can't really change your bones, right? How you were born. Because for instance, somebody's pelvis, their hip joints, their sockets might be more angled forward. And that means that they may have a more limited amount of rotation in their hip, or maybe it's going to affect their gait pattern, as opposed to someone whose hip sockets are more laterally set and they're going to have a different range of motion. They're going to have a slightly different posture or a position. And those are genetic factors that we cannot change through movement. Okay, now that you've gotten a little bit of an overview and some background information about what posture is, I want to take a moment right now to give you some time to assess your own posture. Now, this is something I'm very passionate about and I teach all the time in my classes, is for people to understand how their own body is moving and functioning, because that's really the only way that we're going to start to make some changes in our body is if we know where we're starting from. So it does not matter whether you are sitting and listening to this, or you're doing something and you're listening to this, because you might be in a static posture or you could be in a dynamic posture. So what I want you to do, and I'm just going to ask you a few questions here, and I want you just to sense in your body right now, you're just taking an inventory, you're not judging it. This is like a baseline. Is there a certain side of your body maybe you're favoring right now with whatever you're doing? Or is there one side that you're moving and not moving? Is there an area of your body where you're feeling any excess tension? Is there a part of your body that you feel like there is some restriction in while you're moving? So for instance, if you're walking, do you feel like one of your hips is a little more restricted than the other? Are they both moving freely and fluidly? Does your gait pattern feel pretty similar on each side? Or maybe you're sitting in the car and you're driving. Are you favoring one hip? Are you leaning toward one side? Is this something you do all the time? All of this information is giving us clues into what may be going on in our body when we're doing a movement class. And maybe even you've experienced this before when you're in a movement class or a Pilates class, you're noticing that one side of your body feels stronger than the other, or one side of your body is feeling tighter than the other. These are all clues that maybe there are some postural imbalances that are going on that we can actually address through movement. Okay, question two, how do I change or improve my posture? Now, as I mentioned earlier, we cannot change the actual shape of our bones, but what we can do is influence our joints and ultimately our posture by moving and working our soft tissue. And when I say soft tissue, I mean things like your ligaments, tendons, muscles, and fascia. Now, we're not going to be influencing the ligaments very much because those are very deep tissues that connect bone to bone. But we are going to be influencing the tendons, which connect muscle to bone, and the fascia as well. So if you're not familiar with, say, what a tendon does, and really we can talk about what a muscle does and how it affects our joints. So you can think of your tendons and your muscles as levers, and those levers activate to move the joints. So for instance, if you were to hold your arm straight down toward the ground in front of you, palm forward, and we want to bend our elbow, bringing the lower part of our arm up towards our shoulder, well, what we're going to do, we contract our bicep muscle, which then that tendon crosses the elbow joint and attaches onto the lower part of our arm. As we flex that bicep, we're going to start to lift that lower part of the arm up towards your shoulder, which bends your elbow. It flexes your elbow. And then as you straighten it, it would elongate and release. So that's sort of like the lever action. And that's really how we're going to influence our posture and how we're really going to influence our joints and change those joint positions. And the other vocabulary kind of word you're probably going to hear me say is rebalancing. So that's a lot we're going to focus on in Pilates, is this idea of postural rebalancing. Because if there's one thing that you walk away from this podcast episode with, it is the idea and the concept that there is no such thing as a good and a bad posture. All posture is neutral, and every posture that you have and assume in your body, whether you are statically holding it or you're dynamically moving through it, is a functional posture because it's helping you to function. Now, are there postures that could be more effective and more tension-free and allow our muscles and our tendons and our fascia to perform in more effective ways? The answer to that is yes. But again, there's no such thing as good or bad posture. It just is. And wherever it is that you're starting from is great because that's just your body. And the cool thing about posture is it can change. Our bodies can adapt and they can be manipulated to be exactly how we want them to be if we really work on it and train it. Now, specifically, I'm going to go into Pilates again and how this is going to help us influence our posture and our joint position. So Pilates is inherently focused on very specific joint training. So one of the first things you'll probably learn when you go to a Pilates, maybe class, or you work one-on-one with an instructor, is you're going to learn these foundational positions of your body, like sort of a baseline, if you want to think of it like that. And also, there's so many variables in this, but if you were to go to different types of Pilates instructors, because there are different schools of thought, they're all based around the central idea of Joseph Pilates, but they've all kind of taken their own piece of it and run with it in a way and developed a slightly different approach to it. And or there are other types of movement training that can influence your posture, your alignment, and your positions. So just want to throw that out there again so you don't forget about it. Now, like I said, with Pilates, we have very joint-specific training. You're going to be working on rebalancing your joints. So that's something you're going to hear me say a lot, is postural rebalancing rather than, you know, a perfect postural positioning, because our bodies can get thrown out of balance, right? Depending on if I'm always doing something on my right side, probably my right side is going to change a little bit compared to my left side. So when I'm looking at a client and I'm starting to work with them, I'm looking at their posture statically, but also dynamically as they're moving, and I'm helping them to rebalance their positioning. So if I see that they have a lot of rotation in their pelvis on one side, well, I'm going to make sure we're doing exercises to help strengthen, or better yet, maybe say shorten the muscles on the opposing side, because we can also think about muscle length here when we're talking about posture. So just because something is short does not mean it's strong. And just because something is long does not mean it's weak. It could be an either or. Very often I do find that there are clients who have a shorter like compensation on one side of their body and they're not really that strong over there. And or conversely, it could be they're elongated on one side and they're actually kind of strong over there. So there's not really a black and white here to this. It's all about the individual, which is what I really, really love about training in this way. Now, the other cool thing that I just want to throw out there as well is that no matter what posture or position that you find yourself in at different times of your day or throughout your life, the really amazing thing about our body is that it can change and it can adapt. Our posture is not a fixed position. It can always shift. And for example, I mean, I've worked with people for years at a time or even just weeks at a time, and I could noticeably see differences in their posture from the time that I started working with them to the end of the hour. They were walking out looking, to me, of course, these are minute details, but completely differently, and just feeling overall better in how their body was moving and functioning as well, and how they were experiencing their body with less tension, with more support, and moving with more ease. So the other way that Pilates really does influence our posture is that we do have these joint-specific exercises, and there's always this emphasis on where these movements are starting from and how we're using our muscles to secure our joints and move from these joint positions very effectively. The other great thing is too, is that no matter what your posture is, in a Pilates class, there is always an option to make modifications. So I really like to empower people to learn about their body, how it's positioned, how it's moving and functioning, what their natural tendencies are, and tuning into that so they can make the adjustments that they need to make in an exercise. So for example, we're going to talk about some classic core work in Pilates. So if you've ever taken a Pilates class before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're lying on your back on the mat, and if you know the 100, I'm just going to reference that. So you would be lifting your legs in the air, right? We would be rounding our body, our upper body, up off the floor. Now, oftentimes, an instructor is going to cue you to tilt your pelvis upward towards your rib cage to have better abdominal recruitment and strengthening. However, you don't always have to work in that position. So depending on where you're getting your training from, they're going to call it something different. Some people call it imprint. Some people call it a pelvic tilt. Doesn't matter. They're all trying to get to the same place, which is your pelvis is rounded up, kind of rolled up towards your rib cage. So you're nice and connected. Now, you could do it like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's very effective. But if I had a client that I wanted to kind of change their posture, if they were always in a rounded pelvic position and I wanted to start to bring them out of that a little bit, I may actually have this person do this without tilting their pelvis up toward their rib cage, because I'm trying to make a change in their posture, in their muscle length, in their soft tissue. So this is also a big component about Pilates and taking from instructors that really understand postural theory and alignment and how everybody's body functions a little bit differently, is that it's not really a one-size-fits-all approach. It's more of a broad practice or method that you can adapt to meet the needs of your body. So you may be thinking, okay, now I kind of want to go take a Pilates class. Okay, what does that look like? How do I go and do that? Well, I've mentioned this before, but Pilates is super accessible now. You could go online and find a class to do on YouTube if you wanted to. You could take a class on Modern Body. You could go in person. You could take a class that way. Or if you really want to understand your body and your posture more, maybe you sign up for a few one-on-one sessions with an instructor to give you some really detailed insight. That's always super helpful. I had clients for many years that would do one private session a week and a couple of group classes a week because they really loved that one-on-one time. They were understanding more about their body, and then it was helping them in their group classes as well. They felt like they were performing the exercises better because they had a better understanding of their body. And I also want to be clear about this, that If you've got some sort of postural alignment that you would like to work on, and your expectation is you go and you take one Pilates class and it's going to be fixed, well, I'm here to tell you that that's just not the case. Because if you think about our bodies, these changes in our posture, whether it's the posture we're in now or the posture maybe we're trying to work on and come out of, it didn't happen overnight. It probably happened over a very long period of time. Again, like I said, days, weeks, months, years, this is always an accumulation. So please don't have the expectation that you're going to go to a Pilates class and come out of it walking with like a perfectly aligned spine and body. There are going to be little minute changes that are going to take place over time. So consistency with this practice is the best way to go about it. Now for our third question, and I saved this one for the end because it's sort of a pet peeve of mine, and that is there a best or ideal posture to be in? Now, one word answer to this, in my opinion, and from my experience from teaching and working with my own body and doing a multitude of different sorts of training in my own life throughout my life, I'm gonna tell you no. And the reason I say that is because postures, like I mentioned earlier, there's no such thing as good or bad posture, and all posture is functional. And there is a good, or I should say more effective posture for whatever it is that you are looking to do. So for example, if you are someone that's really into lifting heavy, there is a specific posture that you're going to want to assume and learn and strengthen if you've got 300 pounds across your shoulders, right? That's a vulnerable position to be in. So we need to probably learn about the most effective supportive posture for that specific exercise. Or for example, if you're a runner and you want to be able to run long distances or sprints, there's going to be a posture that's most effective so you get the most power out of your muscles and your body. And we would need to learn that to be able to do that activity. Now, when we're talking about Pilates, for instance, there are specific positions that we would assume throughout the class, but there is no such thing as one perfect posture to live in at all times. We are living, moving, breathing, adaptable beings. We need to be able to have fluidity in our body to be able to respond to whatever it is that our life asks us for or requires us to do throughout the day. And so believing that you're not ever going to move your spine other than forward and back, side to side, or in rotation, then you may need to reassess like what you're thinking about your posture, because we're not stick figures. Now, I'm also coming at this because the method of Pilates that I'm trained in and that I teach has one view on posture. And I also have my own experiences of my own body and working with other bodies for a very, very long time of what my view of posture is. If you were talking to somebody else that comes from a slightly different background, they might have a different view of posture. So this is my personal take on it, and this is what I've learned over the years. So please do your research and find what works for you. I'm just giving you my information. And I would say that I'm probably not alone in thinking this. I think there's a lot of other people out there, trainers of all different fields, who also believe that there's probably not one best posture, but there are specific postures or positions that are more effective than the other, depending on what you want to do. So a few more examples though about posture. So I talked a little bit about sports-specific posture, but there's also life-specific posture, right? So when we're sitting at a desk for maybe a long period of time for work, or we're driving, or maybe we're teachers. And there's also hobby and activity specific postures, like gardening, for instance, or baking, or you're playing the violin. You're going to assume different postures, and your body's gonna wanna be strong for those specific activities. But what our ultimate goal here is to have a body that is responsive, a posture that can support us no matter what we're doing in our life. It's adaptable, it's responsive, and we feel really strong and connected, and we have a good understanding of how our body is moving and functioning. And this is really what posture is all about. So to kind of experiment with that different posture theory, I really would encourage you to do several different activities. So take a Pilates class, go do some weight training, some strength training, maybe go for a run, and kind of think about the different postures that you're assuming and how you're thinking and moving your body differently. Or maybe you're around your house, you're doing some activities, you're washing the dishes, you're getting the laundry. Can you kind of take a moment to notice your different positions and movements that you're doing and those patterns that you're having throughout your day? And that's really going to show you and kind of give you some insight into all the different ways our body moves and functions and how posture is not a fixed position. So we covered a lot today, but to recap very quickly, so we went over the first question, which is what is posture? And we learned that posture is really a position or a pose. And we can be in a static posture, which means we're not moving, or we can be in a dynamic posture, which means we are moving. And both postures are gonna look a little bit different because our body is always gonna adapt and respond differently to the task at hand. Now, the second question was, how do we change or influence our posture? And how we're going to do that is by influencing the soft tissue. So that being the tendons, muscles, and the fascia. And in Pilates specifically, we're going to do that by elongating certain muscles, shortening certain muscles, and it's going to help to rebalance our posture and really change our joint positions over time. And then the third question, my favorite, is there a best or ideal position for me to be in or for my posture? And the answer to that is no. Our posture is adaptable. It's changing all the time with us. And you need specific postures for specific sports or activities or hobbies that you do. But there is truly no one fixed position that we're going to live in and move in and exist in. Our bodies are going to be constantly in flux and changing. And that's also such a cool feature about our body. So just here at the end, I want to reiterate and mention to you that if you're kind of hung up about your posture right now, if you're feeling like you really want to make some changes, be patient, go slow. These changes are going to happen, but they happen over time and not overnight. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you got one small, valuable piece of information out of that episode that you can now apply into your life. And if you're interested in learning more about Pilates or movement to help with your posture or just your body in general, then you can go to modernbody.u, that's the letter U, wordscreen.io to find out more about it. It would also mean so much to me if you subscribe to this podcast, took a few minutes to leave a review, or even shared this episode with a friend that you think could really benefit from it. And when you do any of these or all of these, it really helps more people find this podcast and allows them to learn about all this information about their body, just like you did.